This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
7:36 right now. This is the Morning Run. Joyce Han and me, Melissa, here with you as we take a look at international markets. Now, over in the US, we had US President Donald Trump over the weekend making a surprise announcement, more tax cuts ahead of the November midterm elections. Now, could the US economy be set for another round of fiscal stimulus? Let's find out what Joe Quinlan has to say about this. Joe is the Chief Market Strategist with the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management there in New York. Now, good morning, Joe. What do you make of President Trump's latest announcement of another round of tax cuts?
Well, I think the odds of that happening are pretty slim. There's not much congressional movement or support, and I don't think anyone really thinks that an economy that's growing by 4% needs any more stimulus. So I think it's kind of electioneering in front of the midterm election, but I don't expect anything to come of this concretely.
Well, Joe, I mean, here's the thing, right? We are midway through Trump's term as POTUS, right? So do you think, you know, 2 years on, have markets and investors gotten better at interpreting Trump speak? I mean, that's one way of describing it, Trump speak.
They're getting better at it, but, you know, just when you think you got to figure it out and you're going left, he turns right, or, you know, the other way around. But, you know, in general, I think they're figuring out that, you know, he's a negotiator, he's transactional, he wants to get deals done. They just don't happen as quickly as people, or he wants them to. So I think, yeah, the markets are starting to figure him out more and more as we go deeper into his term.
Joe, we've got U.S. third quarter GDP estimates due out this Friday. Markets expecting that to be about 3.3%, which is about 90 basis points lower compared to second quarter's growth. If these fresh tax cuts happen, could we see a return to 4+% growth?
Yes, we could. I mean, right now, I mean, we're just hitting some supply constraints with workers, but I do expect a good number. And when you average it out, it's going to be another robust quarter, very strong year, relatively speaking. So, you know, whether we hit the 4% or not, I mean, nominal growth is very robust when you overlay inflation. So it's going to be a good number, and I, you know, might give pause for the Fed, you know, when we go deeper into 2019.
Right. But, Joe, I think moving forward, the question is whether or not these, as you described them, good numbers, whether or not they are sustainable, right? Because the Trump administration certainly thinks so. 3% to 4%, that seems to be the new norm. Do you think that's sustainable? And if so, for how long?
No, I don't think, you know, 4% is not sustainable on a $20 trillion economy. You know, we've seen some one-off stimulus with the, you know, the tax cuts. But I do think we can do better than that 2% that we were stuck with, secular stagnation. I think, you know, it's going to be closer to like the 3% in that range. And so if you get 3% real growth on $20 trillion, and that's a lot of output, a lot of demand. And what's not going to get us a 4%, you know, we have some weakness in the housing market. We are seeing some weakness in the autos. You know, they're big multiplier effects, cost of capital, credits going up. So there'll be some slowdown here. But I don't know. I don't see why we have to go back to 2%. We're going to stay closer to 3%.
Well, from a fiscal perspective, with the deficit already at a 6-year high of almost $780 billion, can the U.S. government afford to forego even more revenue?
Not necessarily, but that doesn't mean they won't, right? I mean, we seem to live in deficit land. But you remember, you know, we had $788 billion deficit. It's less than 4% of GDP. We do have public sector debt as percent of GDP closer to 80%. So, you know, we have some fiscal runway. But, it, you know, usually in this cycle, we've got such strong growth, you see, you know, more months of fiscal surpluses where we're still running deficits. So, you know, I think we just continue to kick this can down the road for quite some time. And we get away with it because of the dollar, the strength of the economy, and strong capital inflows. I don't see that changing.
Joe, we're just a couple of weeks away from the midterms. Now, do you think, is there a base case for markets as to who will take control of Congress come next month?
I mean, I think the base case for the markets would not be upsetting or surprising if the Democrats took the House. The Republicans keep the Senate, so you get a divided Congress working with the president that, you know, can cross party lines. I think that's the base case. If the Republicans, you know, held strong and kept the House, that might be, you know, maybe a jolt for more, you know, maybe the tax, how we started the conversation for more tax reform, we'll see. But the base case is, you know, a divided Congress heading into 2020.
Well, and if that's the case, then what does that do for your policy outlook, especially from the fiscal side, right? Because, you know, even with the Republicans controlling both the House and the Senate, already you're seeing last year's tax cuts, you know, with the intention of trying to make it permanent. Even that is facing headwinds. So what does it mean for your policy outlook through 2020?
you know, really, Democrats and Republicans haven't been too fiscally responsible here with the spending. 2020, I mean, I'm not sure either party would continue to outdo themselves, you know, with the election in mind. But I don't expect any big, tax reform like major initiatives coming out of this administration between now and 2020. If the Democrats take the House, it would become even harder. So, you know, infrastructure spending, I think, goes slower. You know, I don't think there's anything coming down to health care reform. I don't think you get another lower corporate tax or, you know, tax reform 2.0. Yeah, so I just think we're kind of in limbo, divided government. I think that's fine to the markets because the markets are looking more to the private sector for growth and not necessarily the public sector.
Well, moving away from the U.S. and let's take a look at China. The Shanghai Composite Index yesterday saw its biggest gain since March 2016. And the Chinese government has pledged its support for the markets yet again. Joe, you're a long-term investor. Are there opportunities for some active trading here amidst all this volatility?
Yeah, I would say yes, particularly in the e-commerce, those big internet giants in China, because they do have 700 million internet users. They've got 5G coming down the pipeline. They've got a government focused on, you know, creating innovation. So, you know, for the long-term investor, this pullback in the Chinese internet stocks looks like it's an opportunity. There's some near-term volatility. I know the government's pumping up the markets here with more easier credit. But really, when you look at the technological capabilities of China, they're only second to the United States, and they're getting stronger. So this is a good place to put some money to work for the long term.
Joe, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us this morning. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. Now, after this, we'll turn our attention to the local market and take a closer look at how competition between the convenience store chains seems to be ramping up. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.